Okay, the title of my message, the same thing that's on the sign out there, Fishers of Men. Matthew 4, chapter 4, 18 and 19. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." You know, being fishers of men and women, nothing strikes fear into the hearts of many Christians more than the thought of witnessing to others about their Savior. There just seems to be a natural aversion to it, a certain fear of being rejected. But there's other fears too. There's a fear of awkwardness. There's a fear of making someone angry or upset. But most of all, there's a fear of failure. Well, this morning we're going to look at these fears and address them. Now, I don't need to put a bunch of Bible verses up here on the screen to convince you that something we should be doing. We already know that. It's also not my intention to lay a guilt trip on you if you don't. But what I would like to do is look at these fears and try to offer a solution to overcoming them. But before we do that, I want to tell you that there are many different methods of evangelism. For example, there are the four spiritual laws, the booklets that come with Campus Crusade for Christ. That organization made that booklet very popular back in the day. And then there are different versions of the Roman Road. The Roman Road gospel tracts have been used extensively. Now, the idea behind each of these approaches is to make it easy, to take out the guesswork, to make you feel more comfortable and prepared. And it's true that multitudes have been saved using these approaches. But they do, however, have some drawbacks. Some have a tendency to read them very mechanically, like going through the motions with no emotion. Others just plow through in order to get it done, even though it might not be the best time or situation. The person may be busy, or the person might be distracted at the time. Some may be ill-prepared should the person ask questions about what they're reading. Now, to be fair, there are some Christians who are very good at using these methods. They have studied them diligently, and they know the material well. And they're able to answer questions about it should a person ask them. To these people, I say, good work. Keep doing what you're good at. Way to go. But to the ones who've struggled with these approaches, I say, don't lose hope or give up. There are other ways to go about witnessing. Our Lord used the metaphor of fishing. Let's talk about the method of fishing, and at the same time, let's deal with these four fears that I mentioned earlier. Remember, they were the fear of rejection, the fear of awkwardness, the fear of making somebody angry or upset, and the fear of failure. Now, the thing about fishing is that there are many different ways to fish. And the reason is that there are so many different types of fish to catch. Different types of fish necessitate the use of different kinds of bait. Smaller fish, live worms, artificial baits such as spinner baits in all sizes and colors. Different types of fish prefer different kinds of water. Shallow, deep, mid-range, muddy, murky, salty, fresh, briny, cold, mid-temp, or warm. Different pH levels. Some fish have different times of the season when they're active, or even different times of the day. So as you can see, fishing can be rather complicated and technical at times. Now, some people prefer to just stick a worm on a hook and cast out into a pond or creek to catch a bluegill. That's enough for them. They're satisfied with that, and they like to keep it simple. However, I don't think this is the kind of fishing Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus knew that the art of fishing was multifaceted. He knew it involved several different methods and practices. He also knew that a one-size-fits-all approach to witnessing would not be effective in reaching all the different types of people in all their very different circumstances and situations. A specific type of witnessing would only reach a very specific type of person. Now let's get back to explaining how we should think about those four fears I mentioned earlier. The fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. Basically, what you're doing when you witness to somebody is you're giving of someone else's gift. And what I mean by that is, let's say that Terry was going to go on a trip on vacation for a month or so, and she had a gift that she wanted me to give to Joyce. But she knew that she was going to leave before Joyce got back from her trip. And so she says, hey, why don't you take this gift over to Joyce? I'm not going to be here for a month. I want her to have it. Okay, so I go to Joyce and I say, okay, here's a gift from Terry. And Joyce says, well, I don't want that gift. Here, I'm not going to accept it. You keep it. Now then I call Terry and tell her what happened. Who's going to feel rejected, me or Terry? Terry's going to feel rejected because it's her gift. And so based on that, we shouldn't feel rejected when someone turns away the gift of God. God is the one that is rejected, not you. You're simply the one giving the gift of grace to God or to the person. And then there's the fear of awkwardness. The fear of awkwardness. We need to understand what a personal issue this is. I mean, this is about as personal as you can get. And some people get very protective of that. And they want to kind of close up and they don't want to let their feelings out. And so it's very, very personal. And if you just keep pushing forward, it can really turn someone away. And then there's this fear of making someone angry or upset. Now, this comes when we force the issue. When we force the issue. In your face evangelism usually doesn't work. When you get into someone's face and you insist on witnessing to them and they don't like what you have to say, that's not going to work. What's going to happen is they're going to avoid you like the plague. Next time they see you at Walmart, they're going to go the other way. And that's not going to help you out at all in what you're trying to do. And then finally, we have the fear of failure. The fear of failure. This comes from misunderstanding that witnessing is a one-shot deal, because it's not. Very seldom is that the case. Rather, it's a process. If you don't lead them to Christ the first time you approach them, you have not failed. You have just begun the process. We have at least a couple of people in our congregation who have the gift of evangelism. And they will tell you that more often than not, even they with the gift are not able to get someone to come to Christ the first time. They just set the tone and they say a few things and plant some seeds, and then later on they try again, and then later on they try again, and they keep praying that for the Holy Spirit to convict them, and then eventually, many times, they finally come around. We have heard stories of successes like that. As you try to build a relationship with these people, if you broach the subject of the gospel and then you meet some resistance, back off immediately. Switch to another topic, but resolve to try again later. The key is not to put the person on the defensive or not to get into an argument about the Bible. You know, so many people in this situation, they'll start pressing the issue even more intensely because they start to panic that they're going to fail. Again, that's a misnomer. They're not going to fail. You're not failing. They're rejecting God, not you. 99% of the time, witnessing is a set of steps. And it requires many encounters with one you're seeking to bring to Christ. The average is about 7.5 encounters, I'm told, by leading evangelists. If a person genuinely likes you, if they genuinely trust you, they're going to listen to what you have to say. If they don't trust you, they will not believe you, and you'll get nowhere. The fact is, and all of us know this, there are many, many scams out there. And boy, we have to be careful about that. And you don't want them to think that you're just another scam. Also, be careful not to become combative. Do not argue. Great evangelists will tell you that no one ever led a person to Christ by winning an argument with him. I read that in a book I'm looking at right now called Purple Fish. It's a really great book on evangelism. And that's what the guy said. No one ever led a person to Christ by winning an argument with them. Let me give you an example. Let's say I'm over at Twinkleberries and I see some fella and I decide to strike up a conversation with him. And we start talking, and I mention that I'm a pastor and that this is my church. And he says, oh, well, I never go to church. As a matter of fact, I'm an atheist. And the reason I'm an atheist is because I know that because of evolution, there is no God, and everything just happened by chance, and there's no purpose, and basically all scientists agree, and all this sort of thing. Now, having done seminars on creation, my temptation would be to jump in there and say, well, that's not right, and this is why it isn't, and argue with him. But if I do that, I might make myself feel better, but I'm not going to win the war. I'm not going to be able to lead him to Christ that way. So the best thing I can do in that first encounter with him is to listen to what he has to say, and then say something like, I find that very interesting. I find that very interesting, maybe even fascinating. But I never would say I agree with it. I would never say I agree with it, because that would be deceiving. That would be lying. I would just say, what you're saying is very interesting to me. Maybe we can talk about it at another time. That way, I don't make an enemy of him. That way, the next time I see him, maybe we can talk some more. Well, he's already told me all of his beliefs about evolution, so maybe we can talk about something else. And next thing you know, I've got a friend. And then maybe after the fourth or fifth encounter, I've got a friend who starts to trust me. And maybe then and only then can I tell him maybe my beliefs about creation and maybe try to get him to doubt some of the things that he's been told. But I have to win his trust first. I can't just jump in there and do what part of me wants to do and ask to argue with him. I have to keep in mind the ultimate goal, and the ultimate goal was to lead him to Christ, not to make myself feel better by winning an argument. Now, I personally prefer to pray and to be on the lookout for divine opportunities as opposed to just going up to a complete stranger and telling them that they need Christ. For most people, this approach will cause them to be very defensive, and your efforts will be in vain. You just go up to someone and start in. They're going to back off. If you intimidate someone, they're going to, as I said, they're going to avoid you like the plague, and you're not going to get a second chance to win their trust. Now, here's a little warning. Do not witness the way that I fish. I tried fishing one time for 15 minutes, got bored and frustrated, and left to do something else. There are times when I'm not very patient. Marcella can probably tell you that. If you do witness the same way I fish, it's going to be a disaster, and you'll vow never to do it again. And then you're going to feel like a failure. But again, you're not going to be a failure. You can't fail at witnessing. The only way you can fail is if you don't do it. That's the only way you can fail, is if you don't do it. You are giving them a gift that is not yours. It's a gift of God, his gift to them. It's true, you share in a gift. You happen to have the gift, but the gift you're giving is God's gift. If they reject it, they're rejecting God, not you. So what you need to do, number one, is to pray. Pray earnestly that God will allow you to speak to somebody. Maybe you have a certain person in mind that you've been praying about. I prayed for my dad for 30 years, but he finally came to Christ after 30 years of praying. And then you pray, and then you ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to make sure you don't do anything stupid. And what I mean by stupid, I mean don't do anything to turn them off or to make an enemy. I know Joyce has talked about some different experiences that she's had. The one with particular was a neighbor, and he didn't come around the first time, didn't come around the second time, but she kept praying. And the Holy Spirit kept convicting. And she sensed it, and she told me, and I sensed it just listening to her. I never met the guy. But I remember we all started praying for him that the Holy Spirit would prod him and convict him. And it wasn't a week or two after that that it happened. So pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to convict. And then very gently speak to them, get their trust, become a friend. And when you feel that they really like you and like, you know, conversing with you, then you can bring up the gospel. Then you can bring up the gift that you have. Now, next week, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. We're going to talk about the difference between random witnessing, just going up to somebody and witnessing, and what we call targeted evangelism. And some people do this actually in groups. But anyway, we're going to explore the many ways that fishing is similar to witnessing. And so we don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to dismiss it. Some of us have bad experiences. Some of us maybe have taken part in a witnessing seminar and it didn't go well. It happened to me. They gave us gospel tracts at Athens, Ohio University, and it said, go to the dorms and read this to people. And it was the most awkward thing I ever did. I could tell the people, you know, were kind of put off by it, didn't really want to hear it, and just kind of put up with us. And I'm thinking, there's got to be a better way. And there are better ways. There are ways that we can all do it. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a deacon. All you have to do is know how to lead them to Christ, which is the basic and simple pattern. But it's how you get to that point. That's the key. You do not want to alienate them before you even get a chance to do that. And so we need to do it. Jesus said to do it. We all know that. He said, go. You know, he said, go. There's no way we would be here today if people hadn't witnessed to us. You know, the fact that we received that wonderful blessing. They either witnessed to us directly, or they had us go to church, or mom and dad made us go to church, and we heard the word of God. But someone loved us enough and was concerned about us enough to be sure that we heard the word of God. And we owe it to our friends and families the same thing. The same that we got because the people considering us and loving us and wanting the best for us, we should have that same desire to do that for them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look at this most important aspect of Christianity, Lord, we know that we're called to do many things. We're called to serve in many different ways. We're called to serve in helping around the church. We're called to serve those of us who are financially blessed to help in that way. We are called to serve in teaching. We are called to serve in preaching and music ministry and all these different things. But all of us are called to serve in witnessing. All of us are called to spread the good news. And it's wonderful good news, the gospel. And may we joyously, but very craftily, Jesus said, that we need to be wise and we need to be cunning. And we need to do it as if we were fishing. Because, Lord, everybody's different. And everybody requires different ways of speaking and talking to them. And, Lord, we just pray that if it be your will, that we can be committed to doing just that. We can be committed to sharing your love. In Jesus' name, amen.